Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNet Speed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet.
I didn't even know they were going to do that, clearly. Matt didn't give me a heads up. Yes, GoNetSpeed is our sponsor. We're really excited about it. If you have GoNetSpeed in your area, you're lucky. I'm Eric, and
I'm Bob.
And Bob's back. He's back. He had last Saturday off, and TJ sat in, and we're very excited to have him back. And we had a fun time with TJ, too. And TJ might come back more often, he said.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
He used to do it a lot. And, he used to enjoy it. But
5-year hiatus, he said. And he said, you know, I miss it a little bit. So it'd be great to have him back. And now Matt is telling me our mics are hot. You can't win. You know, we're here in the hermetically sealed studios of East Hartford, Connecticut at Tab Computer Systems. And Matt's back in Farmington. I can't see him. So you know how we communicate? Text.
Well, at least we're using technology.
Yes, we are. You wouldn't believe what we're leveraging in this room right now. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Now, speaking of concerns, Bob, you have some news you wanted to bring up.
Oh, my God.
This is one of my favorite concerns.
Well, I got a couple of them that I thought were perfect for you.
Uh-huh.
All right. So this is
Reuters?
Not Reuters. No.
Reuters, Reuters, however you say it.
CNET / Roadshow article.
All right,
okay.
All right, sure.
And it starts, if EV, electric vehicle rebates, subsidize luxury cars, the Biden's plan is already a bust.
Mm-hmm.
Commentary. There is zero reason to offset the price of a six-figure electric car.
I've been saying it since it started, Tesla started getting that deal.
President Joe Biden on Wednesday announced a sweeping $2.25 trillion infrastructure plan, which calls for a big change in the way U.S. treats electric car buyers. The administration wants direct rebates at the point of sale.
Right. No, you don't even have to fill out your taxes anymore.
Yeah, that's right. They take it right
even
off the
faster,
top.
Right off the top.
In other words, the government may soon provide you, the buyer, money towards a brand new electric vehicle.
Right.
Otherwise known AEV. Right as you sign on the dotted line, no tax credit, just cash going back into your pocket. Actually,
right.
It's not going into your pocket.
It's coming out of your pocket.
It's going into the dealer's or the manufacturer's pocket. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
So, however, if the administration fails to focus this effort on American car buyers that need it most, the plan is already broken.
Right.
Surely it can be hard to learn from the federal EV tax credit program, which fails to focus on the right cars.
Right.
For example, today, anyone can walk into a Porsche dealership and order a $150,000 Taycan Turbo electric sedan. And in 2022, when filing their 2021 taxes, they'll receive a $7,500 tax credit from Uncle Sam.
Cha-ching. Well, from you and me.
That's a tax credit.
The common folks.
That's like right off the top of the taxes, not...
No, I know. It's direct off the top, right back into their pockets. People who can afford a $150,000 electric Porsche get a tax break thanks to you and I.
But we're only going to tax the rich.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like taxing the rich to me. That seems like us dinglings are the one paying for their high-end Porsches, which, hey, I applaud them if they can afford them. Good for you. You worked hard to get it. You want to buy it? Go ahead. But you don't need any $7,500 out of my pocket or my kid's pocket or my grandkid's pocket. I don't have any grandkids yet. But, I mean, the point is, what are you doing? What are you crediting these people $7,500 for?
Well, so long as they paid more tax than the credit, it's a broken system ripe for exploitation.
Yeah.
But only because the electric vehicle tax credit wasn't meant to last forever. Way back in 2009, the Obama administration faced a sputtering economy. And part of the plan was to not only put Americans back to work,
right,
but also put the public in more fuel-efficient vehicles. That led to the creation of a $2.4 billion fund to subsidize the purchase of an EV or PHEV or...
Or a hybrid, probably.
Or yeah, that's what a hybrid is. But anyway, okay. Other initiatives. At the plan's inception, few cars that were qualified were on sale. The Chevy Volt, Nissan
right.
Leaf, and the Tesla Model F became poster children. Today, that's not the case. With far more luxury EVs on sale than modestly priced electric vehicles,
right.
The federal they put the ones on sale that were the highest price,
of course,
by the way,
of course,
and not the ones that were lower
for the common folk. That's
right.
Common ruck.
So EVs on sale. The federal government also seriously underestimated how long it'd take to see EVs and traditionally powered cars reach price parity. We're still not there. Hence
right.
The push to continue to subsidize electric cars in some form.
Right.
And he goes
again,
on.
I'm okay with subsidizing the lower end cars. So if you want to take a electric vehicle that's going to cost, let's say, $30,000 and knock $7,500 off, now you put that car in the hands of people who can afford it. You know, the common folks, if you really care about getting EVs on the road. But if you subsidize $150,000 electric Porsches, who are you helping?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I've had discussions with folks who can afford these things, and they're yelling at me, what are you, Eric, a communist? I'm like, no. I think it's ridiculous to be giving people who can afford $150,000 cars $7,500 in tax credits. That's kooky.
So
it's nuts.
This article was written by Sean Simkowski, and it says, I don't make policy, nor do I really want to. But there is simply no logical reason why an individual with their heart set on a Bentley Pentayga hybrid right. or a Ferrari SF90 Stradale needs the feds to help them out. Uh-oh.
It's ridiculous.
No way. I'm not making those examples up either.
No, I know
you're
not.
Check out what the government pays for all qualifying cars here. They have a link.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of money, too.
It goes on. Oh, man.
Billions of dollars. I mean, I've always talked about Elon being the biggest. He's the biggest recipient of most of these subsidies because he's sold all the electric cars. But we'll put a link up there for you guys. You can read it. It's something I've been talking about forever. It doesn't make any sense, but then again, they're from the government, and they're here to help. In other news, Microsoft failed to shore up defenses that could have limited the SolarWinds hack, according to a U.S. senator. This is a Reuters story from San Francisco. Microsoft Corp's failure to fix problems with its cloud software facilitated the massive SolarWinds attack that compromised at least 9 federal government agencies. Yes, its cloud software facilitated the massive SolarWinds attack that affected 9 federal government agencies, including security experts and the office of U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, who is the guy who was complaining. The vulnerability, first publicized, revealed by researchers in 2017, allows hackers to fake the identity of authorized employees to gain access to customers' cloud services. The technique was one of many used in the SolarWinds attack. Wyden, who has faulted tech companies on security and privacy issues as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, blasted Microsoft for not doing more to prevent forged identities or warn customers about it. The federal government spends billions on Microsoft software, Wyden told Reuters ahead of the SolarWinds hearing on Friday in the House of Representatives. It should be cautious about spending any more. Uh-oh. Before we find out why the company didn't warn the government about the hacking technique the Russians used. And the Russians used something called a golden SAML. And it's been known for 2017. And Microsoft is saying, nobody ever was going to use it, so we didn't think it was really important. And the security folks never thought they would use it. But, yeah, you know, we didn't think it was going to be something to worry about. Well, thanks, Microsoft. We appreciate it. Golden Sammel's been around, and that's their answer. You know, it hasn't been used in an attack before. Okay.
How do you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll put the link up here for you guys so you can read it. But it's nice. It's Microsoft's got to do something. And I've been saying this for a while now that, you know, this past month of March has been brutal for IT people out there. So please, you know, hug an IT guy when you see him every now and again. We're going through some hell. We really are. And it's all thanks to Microsoft. Well, you know?
You mean like the update that crashes and gives you a blue screen of death when you try to print?
Exactly. Or the Exchange hole that was there for 10 years and, you know, you got to patch hundreds of thousands of Exchange servers. IT guys, you know, we're running on fumes, man, and we need some help. So, and we'll thank Microsoft for this. I mean, obviously, it's our bread and butter, right? However, we'd be happy to use a different operating system. IT guys don't just use Microsoft because they want to. It's because it happens to be the one that's winning right now. We used to use Novell. We used to use IBM OS 2. You know, why not? You know, let's get some competition in here. Microsoft, you know, gave it away. And this is what we got, golden SAMLs and wide open Exchange holes and blue screens of death when you print.
Well, we have a lot. Microsoft in their operating system has a lot of legacy code.
Yes, they do.
That goes all the way back.
The kernels, as they're called, goes back a long way. They like to retread the same stuff and charge you again.
To LAN Manager, mm-hmm. who they bought the operating system from in the first place.
Right.
Because Microsoft never wrote that.
I believe it.
No, they bought LAN Manager, and before that, even what was the first the DOS?
Yeah. DOS itself.
He bought it for $50,000.
Right, from Xerox. He had them turn their heads and cough.
No. He bought it from the developer that wrote it.
Right.
But then then he went in partnership with IBM.
Right.
And that worked out really well.
Yeah, didn't it? IBM's like, we used to be a blue chip. So again, we got some things going on here with Microsoft. And, you know, if think of your IT guys. I know, I mean, basically when you call an IT guy, you've got a problem. And, you know, that's all we get. So feel free to send us a nice note every now and again. Thanks, IT guy, for being there in the basement. We appreciate that. You don't get any sun or fresh air, but we're happy you're there. You know, we need a day, the IT guy day. And maybe it should be maybe month of March as understanding an IT guys, you know, what we go through. Nobody seems to understand us, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm only half joking.
Well, when we go out on a service call, they go, "Help, our computer's crashed." And you get to the front door and it's locked instead.
I know. It's crazy. All right. In other news, you guys probably noticed this. It wasn't an April Fool's joke. Microsoft's cloud services went down again April 1st in the evening. Xbox went down. Office, otherwise known as Office 365, which is becoming Office, 234. Bing, other services. It's a DNS issue in this case. But again, constant issues with Microsoft. Even their site that tells you their status of their site went down. Why? Because they don't use a backup service from another provider because they would never think they would go down. So you couldn't even find the status of Microsoft's stuff because the status site was down.
What happened? Ever happened to redundancy?
I don't know. They clearly don't subscribe to those basic features of technologies. I'll put a link up here for you guys. You can read the story. It was not an April Fool's joke. This has really been a bad few weeks for Microsoft, and for being an IT geek.
So you mean Microsoft's practice is do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock on this bright and sunny Saturday morning. Please feel free to get online with us, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. And, of course, everything we talk about will be posted live by Mike G over to ComputerTalkWithTab.com or over to our Facebook page. If you like Tab Computer Systems on our Facebook page, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, and you're not in Australia, you might get the news. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And I'm trying to make sure my mics aren't too hot for Matt. So feel free to get online. We got who's first here? We've got Nancy in Old Saybrook first. What's going on, Nancy? You there?
Oh, good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I worked from home for a year and did all my own computer fixes or whatever, but for some reason on Monday, my computer didn't see the website. So I thought, well, I've been doing this for a year. I thought I could fix it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So I ended up resetting instead of restoring. So I actually brought it to a computer place. They fixed everything. So I'm back at day one, but now I have to enter all my apps again and all my connections, my printer,
oh,
et cetera. Boy. Yeah. So it's I outsmarted myself.
Oh no.
Yeah. A little bit of danger. A little bit of
knowledge is dangerous.
Yeah. So I had AVG. I'm gonna switch to OpenDNS.
Well, they're not equal. They're not equal. So AVG, no, AVG is an antivirus that's out of the Czech Republic. So we would tell you to replace that with Webroot.
Oh, Webroot. Oh,
yeah, that's an antivirus. Oh, but you should still configure OpenDNS. That's just a configuration.
Okay. Oh, okay, good. I'm glad I called.
OpenDNS protects you on the web.
Right.
Oh, okay. So I will do that. Now I use. For work, when I do work from home, go to my computer, none of those will interfere with that, right? Or
we're never going to promise you anything like that.
Oh, no. I know, no. But, I mean, it's not like it doesn't jump out at you and say, oh, my gosh, don't do that.
No.
Okay.
It should all work fine.
Okay, good. And then my biggest problem is the Windows 10 screen is very different, and I don't have games anymore.
Yeah, you reset it back to factory fresh, right? So what games are you missing? Windows 10 games?
Windows 10 games. You know, all the free ones.
Well, they took those away.
Did they really?
Well, if you had them, you got to keep them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I just thought
I needed
to do something. Yeah.
Well, they're apps now.
Yeah, they're apps. No, I know, but
and
that doesn't make sense.
And you got to pay for them.
Right.
No,
so
no,
if
no,
you
no,
had
no,
them
no,
and
no,
you
no,
upgraded,
no.
they were there. I see.
I got it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to pay for them. I can live without them. Okay. Yeah.
So no Spider Solitaire?
Well, yeah, none of those games. I'll be fine.
All right.
I'll be fine. So I think that's it. I think I can just go and re-enter everything now, my computer and...
So Nancy, just so people understand what happened, why did you go and factory reset it? What was the issue that caused you to think you had to? Maybe I missed that.
I didn't think I was resetting it. I thought I was just restoring it.
Oh, to a previous restore point.
And somehow, I don't know, didn't.
No, you brought it back to the original factory fresh. Okay.
Yeah, but the problem, it seems that whenever there's a Windows 10 update, my computer did not see any of the, the Wi-Fi networks. So I would go in, and I don't even know what I did, but then it would work.
Right.
And this time, I couldn't get anything. You know, I went through all the steps I normally did, and I couldn't get it to work. So I thought, let me just restore it, and I didn't. I just somehow pushed the wrong button.
Well, that's how sad. That's how sad this whole Microsoft thing is. I mean, you just had a minor issue, and because of this minor issue, I mean, just try to equate it. It's like your blinker wouldn't work on your car,
right?
And you instead, what you did was you decided to completely drive it to a junkyard and have them crush it. and that's how Microsoft works. So you have a silly Wi-Fi issue, and you really crushed it right back to factory fresh. Microsoft didn't even warn you enough, clearly, and said, "Hey, by the way, Nancy, this is going to bring you back to factory fresh." Right?
Yeah. Right. No, it didn't tell me that. No.
What do you think it told her, Bob? I haven't seen that in a while. What do you think the warning was?
Well, it said it gives you two options if you want to get rid of all your personal data or if you want to start clean.
Right.
So you had to have chose clean. I think that's the default too.
Yeah.
Hit next.
And that's the other issue. It probably is not stark enough for you to be warned, Nancy. But I just was curious.
Okay, yeah, I just thought I was restored before and never had a problem.
I know.
Somehow, yeah, oh well. But thank you very much, and I do appreciate the tech people, and I do appreciate your show, so thank you.
Well, if you see us out there in public, you know, give us a little hug. We probably have already had our shots, I hope, so, you know.
Okay. I have two, okay.
All right, thanks, Nancy. All right,
thank you so much. Okay,
all right, see you. Bye. Yeah, I mean, those tech guys out there, I mean, it's a rough world. Yeah. It's a really rough world. And making sure that everything is running cleanly with Microsoft out there.
Well, you know, we're like your pets. We got to make sure we get all our shots.
Exactly, and we're doing that. We'll be back. We're going to step out for a quick break and get to your calls. Feel free to stay online. John and Bill, a couple lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And I'm watching everyone coming in on the old stream over there. And I want to thank Glenn and Gary and Austin and Tom, who've said good morning. And Austin's got a quick question. 20H2 is ready to download and install on my computer. Should I install it or wait for it to do it automatically? I would say if you've got nothing better to do on this lovely Saturday morning and you really want to install it, you can. But I wouldn't push it. I would choose anything else. I mean, paint the house. I don't know, mow the lawn.
How about starting it before you go to bed at night and let it go when you're not?
When you're not going to be there, yeah. So, but there's no rush for it. It works. We're running it. You know, it works. It's just one of those things that if it doesn't work, your computer used to work.
Well, they rearranged a lot of the furniture, I'll tell you that, in 20H2. Yeah.
They really did. All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to John in Bristol first. What's going on, John?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I run a small drone provider service, so I deal with a lot of video and photo files, a lot of large files to move.
Yeah.
And, you know, the biggest problem is not having good upload. I'm sorry.
I don't have a button.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
To send your stuff up through a thread instead of through a hose. And
right.
So I have a legacy Google account that I started probably 20 years ago using an old business email that no longer exists. And I don't even know if that email, I thought it was through Google, but, you know, through all the changes in their policies throughout the year and them acquiring YouTube and all this stuff, I still have a basic free account that gives me like 15 gigs of storage.
Uh-huh. Well, 15 gigs is not going to do anything.
I know. And I run out of that. I have to contact somebody, you know, can you, you know, delete what I sent you so I can send you some more. So I'm trying to update. And this is where my problem comes in, because the email that I use to log into my legacy account, which really I could still use the email and my password to get in, but they can't send me an email to that account because it doesn't exist anymore through the servers it was set up through. And I can't, every time I try to do a reset, you know, reset your account or something like that, I can get into my workspace and my workspace says, okay, you know, you can get more space, but you need to talk to your admin. Well, I'm the admin. I'm one person. I'm the only one that's on this account.
Right. And this is a Google account?
It's a Google account.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, when I get into my admin account, admin page, and I try to update, you know, I went through a whole bunch of things, and I'm like, okay, if I got to do this, I got to update to G Suite to get a payment.
You got to pay.
So, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm fine, you know? Not that I really want to do it, but it's part of business.
Yeah.
So when I click on the page to say do a standard upgrade, right, which is $6 a month, gives me 30 gigs. I'm going to go with the business, whatever, plus to get me 2 terabytes. Should be fine. The problem I'm having, and at least what I think I'm having, because it's all related to, you know, the snowball effect. If, you know, you get into the page where it wants to know, do you have a business domain? Yes, I have a business domain. And I have Google Analytics set up with all this stuff with my legacy account. I'm just afraid that if I keep clicking yes and I put something else in, you know, because now they want to create an email with this account.
Right.
Is this going to mess up everything I have now? I mean, it just frustrates the heck out of me that, you know, when you click from your admin panel to upgrade to G Suite, it doesn't link anything. It's almost like it wants you to start a whole new account. And then I'm in account, you know, purgatory again.
Right.
So I'm just trying to figure out how I can update. without going through this whole thing and messing up all the things I already have set up for my business with Google Analytics and, you know, Google My Business.
Right.
And just wondering if there's an easier way or where I'm going wrong here.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. So it's a great question and a great point. I mean, I've had numerous discussions with numerous folks who have tried to buck the approach that is being laid out by the cloud provider, whether it's Facebook, Google, Microsoft, or whoever. There's so many folks that talk kind of the way you are, where you're a little worried about messing up the configuration prior by upgrading to this new state, right?
Right.
And you have every reason to be concerned. That's very possible.
I mean, the last woman who did a factory reset without realizing she was doing a reset for Windows 10.
Right. That's the world we are in.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised you have this feeling. However, you can't buck it. When you try to go against what they want you to do, you will cause much more problems for yourself than if you go forward.
That's what I did 10 years ago when they took over YouTube, and I couldn't merge my two accounts because my brain just couldn't function properly the way that they're telling me to do it, I guess.
Eventually, you're not alone there either. It's not as intuitive as you'd think. Yeah. So I would tell you to
contact anybody.
Nope, they don't exist. They're all Androids over there at Google and the Googleplex. We don't know where they're from or where they're. It could be the dark side of the moon for all we know. So I would tell you that you should just cautiously upgrade following the prompts. And yes, some of your Google Analytics stuff might go away. It may have to be recreated under this new account, may have to be imported, because your Google Analytics account is based on a you're a bill at something else other than bill at this new domain, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, you that's your concern?
I just don't know exactly where it is, you know, because when I go to sign into Google, it allows me to, you know, log in, like I said, using this old email and password.
Right.
And it says I have two accounts.
Right.
Or basically one's a workspace.
Right.
And in the personal account. I can no longer get into my personal account because the password and the email that I use to normally log in will not get me into that account. And if I try to do a reset password,
right,
you go through all their windows, it makes you try to keep logging in.
So I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing, Bill. Their chat service is tremendous.
Is it?
Google does have a chat service. So I have, I've mentioned this before, I purchased a place in Florida, and we tried to configure some silly Chromecasts on our network. I mean, I've configured so many Chromecasts, I can't even tell you. I couldn't do it in this space in Florida, and it's because the router that the internet provider gave me was incompatible. I would never have known that unless I went on the chat with Chromecast for them to tell me, and they were very quick. So I would tell you to leverage that chat support. So if you go to Google and look up support, they do have a chat, and they're quick, and they're responsive, and they understand what you're saying. Ask them specifically this question, and they might guide you through it very cleanly so that you don't have to feel worried about it. I think you're going to have to just follow the steps, but they might give you some more comfort that you're not going to blow yourself up, and they might even help you get into the other account. They might. but their chat is really good. I don't know why they wouldn't want to speak to anybody. They do have phone numbers, but anytime you try to call the numbers, it always says it's closed. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the chat is quick and powerful, and we'll put a link up to that on Computer Talk. Bob's already looking for it.
Okay.
That's what I think I would have you do. Yeah. And then remember, anything you put up there in the cloud, you got to back up. So believe it or not, we at Tab sell services to our business clients. And we wouldn't be able to sell it to you unless you become a business client. But I'm not trying to sell you anything. However, you got to back up your data, right? Just because you stick it on the Microsoft cloud or the Google cloud doesn't mean it can't be deleted, lost, who knows what. So you need a third party that's going to reach into your Google or your Microsoft account and back it up just in case somebody in your business deletes it on purpose, because it happens all the time with 365. Plenty of people who are disgruntled just delete their stuff. Or if Microsoft makes a mistake and says, oops, I lost your account, that happens too.
Yeah.
Make sure you back it up, especially if it's important to you.
Yeah. And just, I mean, I'm glad you guys have GoNetSpeed as a sponsor, you know, and I hope they get into more communities out there. I live in Bristol, and it's just frustrating being handcuffed by, you know, Comcast and you know,
right.
It's very difficult to run a business that I run and be able to serve a community or my clients
right.
uploading large files And even on their end, when you try to explain to them, look, I got a 50 gig file I'm trying to send you, and then they don't have the access on the other end
right.
to download it because their account's not big enough as well.
Right.
So I'm trying to find a balance out there, too, of how can I better serve somebody? Is there a different way rather than Dropbox or WeTransfer or, right. you know, Google Drive on
encrypted,
how to...
Encrypted thumb drives and FedEx.
Well, that's what I tried to tell these people, but some are like, well, no, just send it to us, and, you know, because we need it now. You're not going to get it now. It's going to take me 6 hours to upload this stuff.
I understand. Yeah, I hope GoNetsB comes to other communities. Go ahead and tell them you're interested in having them come, and they'll come.
Yeah.
All right, Bill.
Okay.
All right, good luck, sir.
That's okay.
I got to let you go. You too.
Yep, thank you.
Bye. All right, bye-bye. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Mike and Jack, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Just checking my levels for Matt so he doesn't freak out over there in Farmington. Let's go right to Mike in Middletown next. What's going on, Mike? Mike, you there?
Yeah,
morning,
this
sir.
should be a real easy one for you guys, a yes
uh-oh.
Or no type thing.
Uh-oh.
Why do you say uh-oh and sitting there shuddering? But anyhow.
any kind of easy question has always got some sort of loaded piece to it. So go ahead. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, my 8088 has been running really slow, and I was thinking of installing the operating system, but I can't find my diskette 22.
What?
So 8088 was one of the first processors out. 8086
yeah.
was first.
Super old.
Yeah. We're talking mid-1990s here.
Yeah, you're kidding, right, Mike?
Of course he is.
I don't know.
You know, believe it or not, I do still have that one. It's on sale. It was one that I built.
Oh, good for you.
Does it work on dual floppies?
Pardon me?
Does it work on dual floppies?
Yes.
Well, one of them's supposed to be the operating system, and the other one's your data.
Oh. All right. Like I said, hopefully is a simple question.
All right.
This spam stuff that keeps coming in, I mean, like, I can go in and look in the spam folder, clean it out, and I can go back about 3 hours later, and there's 129 spam things that come in. Granted, some of it, I do want to go into that folder. But my question is, are wildcards still usable? Because I don't know how many times I'll see a listing of, let's say, for instance, 123@123.xv. And then another one underneath it, it'll say 234@123.xv and everything else.
Yeah.
I use Outlook.
Yes.
They do have a block feature on there.
They do.
Of course, as you go through, you keep seeing, and if you go and hover over, you will see that each one of these things that come out are, you know, a different beginning. You know,
right.
The ending, you know, the
at is the same.
Right. Now, right. Can
yes, you can use wildcards.
You can.
Now, there's two spots you want to configure your spam blocking. You can do it within your Outlook, right? You can
right.
do some of your settings in there, and we'll put some links from Microsoft, believe it or not. And they can show you how to do that with wildcards. You can actually block domains. And who's your post office? Who's hosting your mail?
Hotmail.
Hotmail, Microsoft again.
Yeah.
So you can go onto your Microsoft Hotmail account on the web and go into the configurations for that and go ahead and modify your spam settings in there as well. So
and
that way you'll have double protections.
Right. Now, still be allowed to use the wildcards in that place?
I don't know about there. Maybe. They may offer that. I don't use Hotmail, so I'm not sure. But they do have they most likely have a spam setting where you can set it based on a level of how aggressive you want it to be.
Okay.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, Bob?
No, I mean, spam has been, I don't know, a thorn in the side of just about everybody since email was
created.
Developed.
Yeah. I wish I could do it with my mailbox, the junk mail I still get in my mailbox, but right. Unfortunately we can't do that. I mean, there is a way to preview your mail that's coming from the mailbox, but you still can't tell them not to chuck it before it gets there.
Well, if it goes into your junk mail, that's okay, because, you know, you can go in and search for somebody, you
right.
know what I mean, or review it.
I'm talking about
bit.
My physical mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
The one where I literally have the trash cans out there during trash day, and I go from my mailbox to the trash and wheel them up.
But you've got to understand, the post office makes more money from the spam mail or,
right.
you know, that sort of junk mail than it does from regular mail.
So that's where these spammers learned it, because they're making a lot of money from us, Mike.
Yeah, they are.
So we'll put a link up there for you how to use wildcards in your spam settings, and that should hopefully help you set that up a little bit.
All right. Excellent. I appreciate that. And for Bob, I mean, he knew about my computer that I have here. Does he believe that I should probably upgrade it now for from a 300 baud modem?
Baud. 300 baud, man. That's
yeah, well,
power.
Is that the one where you're taking the receiver off your phone and putting it on the
That's war game stuff.
Oh, you remember those days. Okay,
I remember.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank
I have
you,
nightmares
Mike.
About those days.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
All right.
8088, two floppies. I don't go that far back. My first computer was a 286-12 Turbo. Turbo Bob.
The math coprocessor?
It did have the math coprocessor. Yes, it did. And I could do Excel really well. Actually, it was Lotus back then.
I put a memory expansion card on mine. I got it up to 20 megs.
Wow. It was funny. I was one of the only guys in college, all my buddies that didn't have computers, so they'd come over my house, and we'd have to do our papers and print it out on our Panasonic dot matrix printer and bring it back to UConn. And
so then you had to buy QEMM memory management software to be able to actually implement all that extra RAM.
You know?
It wasn't built in because the operating system could only handle 1 meg.
It's weird how you remember that.
Yeah.
I've long forgotten.
And
that.
A lot of them, they started off with 8K.
Yes.
And when you got up to like 16K, that was so big.
I know.
Nobody would ever use more than a megabyte of RAM.
I think all this additional software is just to track us better.
Well,
back then, they didn't know what I was doing on the old internet.
They had monochrome screens. You had the green or the orange.
Yes. We had a color screen. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Everything we've talked about has been posted by Mike G over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And, of course, over on Facebook, you can watch us on Facebook Live over at WTIC's Facebook page. And feel free to chime in, say hello. If you have any questions, we might be able to get to those as well. And if you like us at Tab Computer Systems, anything, this music back there, Matt Sirois back there in the studio is just giving me a hard time today. What was I saying? If you like us at Tab Computer Systems, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy, it just might get into your news feed. So we'll be stepping out for a quick break for the news and get back to your calls. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.